Welcome, everybody, to Taking Control, the organizing podcast. I'm Pete Wright. That's Nikki Kinzer.
Wow, what an introduction.
I know. I feel like we needed some sort of a drum roll, maybe a large audience cheer.
No kidding.
Can I tell you what I'm excited about today?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. We got a new refrigerator.
You did?
Yeah. Can you believe that?
I didn't know you needed one. I know you need a new stove.
When I was at, that's not very funny. And pieces on my dishwasher are actually hanging off. Like, it still works, but there are large sections that are hanging off. But the refrigerator
is brand new.
That's something we didn't see dying. And it died while I was in Mississippi last week. And so my wife, my lovely and patient wife, was living out of coolers. She didn't have time to go buy a new refrigerator without, you know, doing the kids and all that stuff without kind of help. Yeah. And so she's been living literally out of coolers for a week.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. What a pain, right? So, of course, you know, here's the problem with refrigerators. If you haven't run into this, the holes in kitchens that they used to make for refrigerators are much smaller than the holes required for today's refrigerators. Do you know this?
I did not know that, but that makes sense now that you're bringing that to our attention.
It's a massive pain, refrigerator makers.
Wow.
Like what? Every house is new or needs a remodel to get a new refrigerator? What?
So what did you end up doing?
Well, we got a refrigerator, and literally, like, I tore off all the baseboard trim around in the hole where it goes, and I was about ready to cut off a piece of our, just like a quarter inch of cabinet of counter space, but we managed to literally jam it into the space, and so it's like, it can't move. I don't think we're ever going to get it out.
Without breaking the wall around it.
Yeah, and for the first time in my life, I know this is going to seem so novel to people, but for the first time, we have indoor ice and water. That's huge. Nice. I feel like, you know, I got a lot of, like, nerdy stuff, but I've never had indoor ice and water. This is a life-changing
congratulations.
Moment. Thank you very much. Crushed ice, even. Wow. I've been celebrating. It's like a ticker tape parade.
You can choose which ice you want.
But you know why this is important? Because I've been applying the organizing principles that you espouse
organizing your refrigerator?
Yes, in placing food back in the refrigerator. And that, it turns out, is really handy.
Well, good.
Yeah.
I'm glad. That's great.
Of course, it looks like we could put all of our food in this refrigerator and actually take a tenant who could sleep in it because it's bigger than our old one. Which I'm sure will fill up soon. But anyway, so it's been very handy. And the space planning concepts, I think, really fun. That's why I'm telling you this, because I'm celebrating you as I put every time I put my milk back in the refrigerator.
And you're putting it in the same spot every time.
Same spot. It now has a home. For everything, there is a place.
That's right.
Even in your
refrigerator.
That's right.
That's awesome.
But we're not going to talk about refrigerators today.
No, we're going to talk about something a little bit more on the techie side, right?
Nerdcast. We're talking about selling your stuff online.
I'm really interested in this topic because a lot of people ask me about it. And to be honest, you know, I give them very general information. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
Well, let's just talk about what is the general information that you give out? Like, when you tell people how to sell stuff, Nikki, please, Nikki, help me. I need to sell my stuff online. What do you tell people?
I tell them their options. I say, well, you know, you have the option of selling it on eBay. You could sell it on Craigslist. You could have a garage sale. You can go to a consignment store. You know, I basically give them kind of the options of what I know is available of where they could potentially sell their things. And then it kind of comes back to a conversation where, is it worth it? Is it worth your time? I typically only suggest that you do these things with larger items. Like, I wouldn't sell, you know, a whole bunch of, like, little household items. I don't know if it's worth your time to do that online. And so we sort of have that conversation. So, like, mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty, but I don't tell them how to sell on eBay or how to set it up on Craigslist or anything like that. And quite honestly, it's just because it's not something that I am an expert in. And I know that there are people that are experts in, like, selling on eBay, right? I mean, like, you could actually hire people to do this for you.
Yes. Yeah, you really could. And eBay is sort of a special breed right now, because it's hard when you go to eBay, you know, if you're shopping on eBay, it's like a mall, right? I mean, it's like, you know, the profiles, the way it, you know, the way the profiles are set up, the quality of the photography, the quality of the, like in general, what they surface, what the algorithm at eBay surfaces for the general user. Like the most popular items are, they really look good. And so I think it's getting harder and harder to be discovered on eBay. There's a level of professionalism that has kind of raised the bar on eBay. So there are some things you have to know.
You know,
when you're about to sell your stuff, to make your stuff look good. That is really important. We're going to talk about eBay in a little bit more detail later. I want to start by talking about the services. You know, because this is a digital episode, selling online, I got to start with talking about gear. Because there are a couple of services that aren't like eBay that are buyback services, right? So when you have like phones and computers, what do you do with them when they're when you're done with them? Now the do-gooder choice is to donate it. You know, to if you don't have support on how to clean your computer and get it, you know, donate it to a school or a church. You know, find somebody who can help you do this. You know, do this cleanly. To erase any personal information, but really you can take the write-off on your taxes and donate your used gear to a church or a school. That is a really handy way to, you know, make a good mark on the world. However, if you want to earn a little cash, there are a couple of services that are worth looking at that are companies that will examine your stuff and they will buy it and give you either a gift card or a PayPal or send you a check, you know, based on, you know, the quality, the condition of your gear. So let's say you have an old Samsung phone. You can go to one of these two services. I think these two are the services that, that really shine right now, either Gazelle, G-A-Z-E-L-L-E.com or Nextworth.com. Both of these services do essentially the same thing. You go in a handy three-step process. You say, what is the device that I have? I have a computer or an iPhone or an Android phone or whatever. What is the condition of it? Is it barely used? Is it, you know, some scratches? Or is it just that doesn't even function? And you select one of those options, and it says, okay, based on your assessment of it, we will offer you X dollars, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say, for example, I'm at Nextworth.com. I have an iPhone 4S that I want to get rid of, and I'm going to do a little search right now and just walk through the process. So I have an iPhone 4S. It is a 32-gigabyte black model, and it is on AT&T. So it just lets me select that option very easily. Does it power on, and is it fully functioning? Yes. Is there a cracked display? No. Is Find My iPhone deactivated? Yes, that's the service that locks the phone to you so
to
that
you,
your
right?
account can find it. You have to disable that before you sell it to anyone, not just one of these services, so that they can then use it without your password. That's very important. So it turns out right here, flashes up on the display, hey, we'll pay you $122 for that phone. You click Sell It Now, and they give you a prepaid shipping label. They pay shipping. You put it in a box. You send it off to Nextworth. And within a couple of days of receiving it, they inspect it. If they agree, you will receive $122 in the form of a PayPal check or a Target gift card. Gazelle is a service I use quite often. It works exactly the same way, with the exception it's not a Target gift card, it's an Amazon gift card. You know, I just love those guys. They do phones, they do iPads, iPods, they do other tablets, video games, you know,
video
laptops.
Games? Really?
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, Nextworth does video games. And so you can, this is a way to get some, you know, to get a little cash back for your stuff, for your electronics in particular. So these are companies. Now, I like these because the quality is high, the integrity is high, and because there's a company behind it with customer service that you can contact, there's a phone number you can call, right? This is a company, there's less risk,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
When people talk about selling online, you know, when you talk about eBay, oh, you should just go sell your stuff on eBay. It's not always opportunity that is the first thing that comes to mind. It's fear, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a movie about the Craigslist killer.
Wow. I was not going to go there.
Well, I'm sorry.
I was not going to go to the Craigslist killer.
But that like hits, that hits a button for me because you're absolutely right. I mean, there is a fear attached to that a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't always like recommending it because there's this fear attached to it. Sorry. I didn't mean to like get all dark and creepy. But there is a movie about that.
There is, sadly, a movie about that. Sad, and there, and you know, those things, the sad truth of it is that, you know, all of these stories are backed in some way, shape, or form on, you know, real events. And I don't know the background of some of these horrific events, but I do know that there is risk involved. And I have a personal story. When I first started selling online, I had been selling online on eBay for a while. And this will date me a little bit. I had a Palm Trio.
Oh.
Yes, this was way back in the day. And I needed to sell it. And so I put it up on eBay. And somebody wrote me and said, hey, we'll pay you. It'll be great. I said, okay, it'll be great. And I'd sold a bunch of stuff on eBay. It was fine. And then I get this message from them as we're about to you know, kind of solidify the deal. They ask me to mail it not to their location, but to their, quote, boyfriend's location in Boston.
Hmm.
And that they will gladly pay me, you know, as soon as the boyfriend receives it, the payment will be in transit. There's just some complications with, you know, scheduling, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm an open-minded guy. This was like 10 years ago. And I thought, well, clearly, I mean, we'd had a nice email exchange. Things are probably fine. So they pay me on PayPal, right?
Okay.
Which is good. That's a good thing.
Right.
Generally. And I shipped the device.
Okay.
Now, 3 days go by, the device is received in Boston, and my PayPal receipt is rescinded by PayPal, saying that the person who provided me the funds was not a PayPal verified payer, and that because I didn't require them to be a PayPal verified payer, I could not get my device back. There was no insurance that would cover me. And I just lost it. And lo and behold, my device was, was apparently redirected to, or the payment was apparently redirected from an account in Serbia.
Oh.
Now, this phone, you know, I was out maybe $75.
And then let me guess,
bucks.
You emailed her back or
and she's
him,
gone. Yeah, she's
and
gone.
And there is no response.
There is
I
no
mean,
response.
Like, it's done.
No, yeah. It's done. And so, you know, I'm out $75, but a lot of, you know, I'm pretty humiliated, right? Because it's, and I call him the Arctic Fox. Mm-hmm. That was the story of the Arctic Fox who took my Arctic White mm-hmm. Palm Trio. It was very sad. That's one of the things that can happen when you just get bit, because you go in and you think, well, everybody is nobody's out to take advantage of me clearly, but you know, and I don't mean to raise the alarm that, you know, everybody's out to scam you because everybody is out to scam you, but you should be aware that these kinds of things happen. Now, in saying that, I'm still very bullish on sites like eBay because you do have the opportunity to check. You know, they've done a great job on eBay to really raise the level of awareness of feedback and reviews, right? Mm-hmm. And that is the most important thing you can do when you're looking to buy something on eBay or sell it on eBay is make sure that the buyer or seller has a high degree of positive feedback. Read the reviews in the seller or buyer information box. It's on the right side of the eBay profile or item page. It says, here's the seller information. What kind of feedback do they have? Now, every time you sell something on eBay, you have the opportunity to request, you know, feedback. And most people who buy on eBay are really pretty good about writing, or I said many people are really pretty good about writing feedback on their eBay, you know, seller pages, so that you can get an idea of who is, you know, who's behind these products. Mm-hmm. And it's something when you are planning to sell on eBay that you should strive for, particularly if you have a number of items to set up in an eBay store. You know, it is a good idea to cultivate positive mojo on eBay. That will help other people feel that they can trust you when they read your stuff. Now, what are the things you need to think about when you are selling on eBay? Now, you mentioned you don't think it's necessarily, or there is a question about whether or not it is worth the time to, you know, if you have a lot of little knickknacks to sell them on eBay? That is a great question. I run into people all the time that fall on that continuum. You know, they have a lot of stuff. Some of it is what most of us would classify as just junk. But they also have a lot of time to run a store. And for those people, eBay is perfect. You know, you set up a store, you take nice photographs, you know, clean, bright photographs of, you know, all this stuff. And you put it up in a store and you run the store. You manage it. You are a store owner. You have to think of yourself as a store owner, and you can liquidate a lot of your stuff. People buy broken things, broken cameras, broken keyboards. They many people just buy them for parts because they're trying to repair other things, you know, that they own. And so it's a great way to kind of clean up your house. But you do have to make that choice. Do you have the time to run
because
a store?
You're shipping it and everything too, right? So, I mean, you've got to look at it that way, not just the time it takes to take the pictures of the items and then list it with the description. But then if it's sold, then you have to ship it up or ship it and, or package it, ship it out and all of that too. Right. So, I mean, it is time consuming.
That it is time consuming. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, it's one of those things like you have to, and let's talk just a little bit about the process of, you know, preparing a given product for eBay, right? So first of all, you have to take into account the condition. You have to truly kind of honestly assess the condition. You know, say you have like a wall hanging or a sconce, you know, is it broken? Are there pieces hanging off of it? Do the electronics work? You know, making a clear assessment and documenting that assessment is important when you're writing your description of that product. A clear description of the product is paramount. And it doesn't have to be, you know, the next, you know, great American novel. It can be, you know, brief half sentences. You know, it needs wiring. It doesn't come with all the screws. You'll need, you know, three extra, you know, quarter inch screws to hang it. Does not come with light bulbs. You know, those sorts of things to really be clear about what these people would be buying. There is nothing worse than shipping something that is, and you know, when people get it, they're very, very frustrated. That takes to the next thing to think about, which is terms. You get to set the terms of your sale. And so to be able to say, you know what, I will offer refunds if you're not satisfied, or no, it's, you know, buyer beware. You look at the pictures, if it's what you want, you buy it. I don't want to have anything to do with you. You set that term. Are you going to do any service? If you're selling like a computer, is there something that you're going to do to help prepare the computer for this new user? Or are you going to help them, you know, with any sort of training with your old stuff? If it's a custom item, is there any sort of service that you will apply, that you'll provide to help them with your new thing? And finally, shipping is a big question. You have the opportunity to say, you know, shipping is going to be included in the final price of the item. So the buyer will have to enter their zip code, you know, and you can give them an estimate of what shipping will cost based on shipping parameters, or you can say, you know what, I'm going to pay shipping in order to excite buyers to buy this thing. Shipping is free, and so don't worry about it. And so those are things you get to decide up front, and they again determine the amount of time that you will devote to, or that you will have to devote to running your store.
I'm just thinking, like, what about the person who, for example, I'm working with a client right now who's downsizing. And so she's lived in this home for, you know, 40 plus years and is moving into half of the size of a new home. So she's going to have a lot of furniture and a lot of big stuff too, that, you know, she's probably going to want to sell. So, and it's sort of a temporary situation, right? Because she basically is going to have all this stuff to sell in order for her to move. But then it's not like she's going to keep the store going. So is eBay a good choice for her? Or would she be better off doing something with Craigslist or having a garage sale?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I think eBay is a great service for this. In fact, there is a cottage industry of people who will, you know, estate planning and sales services that will come to your home, assess the things that you want to that you want to sell, and they will then run a sale for you. Now, I in fact ran across a service just last week. My in-laws, my wife's parents are selling their home. They've been in this home for over 30 years, and they're selling their home. And we connected with an estate sale service. They come in, they do the assessment of all of the products on the property. They hold a garage sale on behalf of my in-laws, of the homeowners, and then anything that doesn't sell, they go and list on eBay on my in-laws' behalf. And so the end result is they take 30%, they give 70% back to my in-laws at the end, and the thing is done, soup to nuts. Mm-hmm. It's both a garage sale and an online sale. They handle all of the risk and all of the contact with potential buyers. All of that is handled. Mm-hmm. Now, there are these places that do this all over the country, and so you'll want to search for, eBay estate sales of, and then my city or state. You know, I know that there are places right here in Oregon that do this, do this same service, and it's an important one, particularly for those who don't have experience selling online. Mm-hmm. And I know sometimes I get into the weeds with like the details of how to sell online, like click here, click there. I kind of don't want to do that because this is something mm-hmm. you have to really wrestle with if you're going to do an estate level sale. Now, to your point though, is it appropriate to sell large items on eBay too? Like let's say you have to sell a piano.
Right.
Well, a piano is more complicated. But eBay is still a fine storehouse to use. You could use Craigslist, you'd use eBay. You just have to set the terms. It says, you know what, I'm not going to ship this piano from Portland to Orlando.
Right.
If you want it there, you have to arrange shipping. Generally, local sales only is more appropriate for this sort of thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I'm not going to, you have to be able to come look at it, arrange your own shipping, that sort of a thing. These are things that I, the seller, am not going to do. If it's worth it to you, you got to come get it. Mm-hmm. And that's totally appropriate. But, I've sold old rotten wood on eBay from an old fence that was coming down and some, or, who came and picked up a large cord of wood that was insect infested and everything. It's a found objects artist and built some large structure that was termite infested, but still built a structure. It's very temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, so there are a lot of options. Now I want to talk a little bit more specifically about Craigslist because that's even, that's a little bit different, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we've talked about the person to company purchase, right? With Gazelle and Nextworth. And we've talked about eBay, which is a little bit more anonymous. You're shipping to people who are, around the country, around the world. In some cases, you largely will not meet them. Craigslist is the most intimate of these services, and that's an important differentiator because if you live in a community that tends to be fairly open and congenial, Craigslist is fantastic. Portland is a great market for Craigslist because, everybody feels like they know each other even if they just met. It's kind of that's what makes Portland great and weird. Some communities, I don't know. I don't know how Craigslist works, but you have to know when you're selling on Craigslist that you are likely going to come into physical contact with the person who's buying this product. They will evaluate it while standing in front of you.
Right.
And they'll make a judgment right in front of you about your thing. And for some people, that's very difficult to rationalize.
Mm-hmm.
And to negotiate. You have to be ready to negotiate price. Nobody is going to come in and say, I would gladly pay exactly what you are asking for.
Mm-hmm.
So get ready for the or best offer part of that negotiation. So is it, I generally, as a rule, we tend to meet, when we're selling on eBay, if it's something that we can do without having, Craigslist, if there's something we can, if we're selling a product that is easy to put in the car, we'll meet people someplace, rather than invite directly to our homes. But in some cases that's not feasible and you just,
right.
You are taking that next level of commitment with eBay to engage, physically. The buyer will know where you live.
You said eBay again. It's Craigslist.
Oh, my goodness. Craigslist. Oh, goodness gracious.
But I know my what apologies. You're talking about.
It's Friday. I'm clearly phoning it in now as we record this. No.
Yes. So no, you get my it. Point. Yeah, so yeah, absolutely.
What's your experience? Have you sold on any of these services?
I've never sold on eBay. I've never bought anything on... Well, I accidentally thought
that
I was buying
something. Never ends well.
Well, this was a long time ago. My son was actually quite little. My daughter wasn't even born yet. And I had gotten on eBay just to sort of look around, and there was a sandbox that was from Pottery Barn that was on there. And I thought, oh, what a great sandbox. And it's a lot cheaper to buy it this way than to buy it through the catalog, right? But I accidentally bought... They weren't selling the whole sandbox. They were just selling the umbrella part of it. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, right on. Well, of course it was cheaper because it was only half of the sandbox that they were selling. So I try to, you know, I get on there and I bid on it or whatever it was, and then I realized that it wasn't the whole sandbox. And so I actually contacted the person who was selling it and told them I made a mistake, and they were totally fine. I mean, I guess at the time they refunded my money, or I don't know what they did. They stopped payment or whatever it was, but it worked out fine. I mean, good. The people were totally understandable, you know, understood the whole situation, and it was no big deal. But that's the only experience I've had with eBay. I don't even tend to even think about it, honestly. Probably because it's so foreign to me.
Yeah.
We have sold things on Craigslist, and it was fine. I mean, it was a fine experience. You know, my husband had a camera that he was selling, and we definitely wanted to sell it because it was worth enough money to sell and not just donate or give it to a friend. And so they came in, and they actually came to the house, and it was they did negotiate. It was that whole, well, I only have this much cash.
Yeah, right.
Will you take this?
Yeah.
And you know, it worked out fine. We were like, yeah, we could take that.
Yep.
She was very excited about having this new camera and this new toy to play with, and my husband was glad because he got to take some of the money he got off of that camera and
put it into a new one.
Put it towards his new one. Yeah, right. Yeah. So, I mean, it worked out fine. And so, yeah, I mean, our experience has been just fine. It's just not something that we do on a regular basis. Yeah.
Well, I have two more things I want to add to this conversation, and then I will shut up. The first one is, you bring up this issue of money, right? Generally, when I'm shopping on Craigslist or when I'm selling on Craigslist, it's cash only.
Right. Yeah.
And that's important. Even for larger ticket items, you're selling a nice camera up to the thousands of dollars. It's cash only. Find the cash and then contact me.
Same kind of protocol if you're having a garage sale. I mean,
yes.
I take checks because, yeah, you just don't know.
Right. Now, there are some, you know, when I'm shopping on eBay or selling on eBay, I will take PayPal. But now, as you could guess from my Arctic Fox story,
right.
I only deal with PayPal verified users, right? It's important that they are, you know, PayPal verified. They have a bank account listed against their PayPal account, and that's very handy. Now, at a garage sale, I might use a service like Square or the PayPal credit swipe tool, where you can, Square is a fantastic system. You may have already run into it, where it's a little dongle that you plug into the headphone jack of your phone, of your smartphone, and open the Square app, and you can slide credit cards and take payments right there in place. And that's handy if you're running a business. It's free to use. They just take a percentage out of every transaction. And so that's something you might use at a garage sale that can really streamline process and not have a lot of cash laying around.
Right.
Coming off a credit card generally is more predictable. Of course, credit cards could be stolen, et cetera. They're
right.
Always the risk. So.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to say, if you've lived in your home for decades and you have a lot of collections, vintage items that you're just looking to unload, the last store I would recommend you look at is Etsy. Etsy is like eBay with a hug. You know, I mean, it's just it's a place to set up a store. Generally, people use it to sell like handmade creations. That
right,
kind of
that's what
thing.
I always right. kind of like purses and scarves and things that they've made. Or,
right,
yeah.
But there is a niche on Etsy for vintage collections, like vintage okay. goods, things that are you know selling antiques. You can set up an Etsy store, and so if you have a lot of items that are sort of in that vintage theme, Etsy is a great place to look at because there are a lot of folks who are like-minded.
So you recommend it.
I do.
I thought you said it was the last store like you would recommend.
But no,
you're
no, no. It's the last on the list that
about.
I'm going to
yeah,
talk about
it.
Before the appropriate shutting up occurs.
you know, I real quick, it is interesting that you bring up that point because I do remember a while ago, I had a client who had a lot of antiques, a lot of stuff that she had inherited from her parents. And we did use eBay to get kind of a comparison of what things were worth. And so that was a way that we did use it. We didn't actually buy and sell off of eBay, but it sure gave us a great knowledge to kind of think, you know, is this swan really what I think it is or is it nothing? And it's amazing when you find out like, wow, I mean, it's actually worth $100 or whatever.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's kind of exciting. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great way to use these services. So that's what I've got. That is what I have today to talk about. I think we certainly appreciate any comments or questions, and I'll be happy to dig into as much detail as people would like if they have questions. But this should give you. I worry a little bit that we've sort of perseverated on the risks and the potential harm, and that's I really don't mean that because selling online is such a wonderful, wonderful way to keep your precious things in the world, you know,
right.
rather than just throwing them away or recycling, you can let other people in the far corners of the world actually get some joy out of your stuff as you pass it on. That there's great energy in that, and I encourage people to do it and keep an open mind about this stuff. Open mind, open heart.
I agree. And I think, I totally agree with what you just said. And I also think that it's just some things that you have in your home, you know, they are worth some money, you know, they are worth, you know, especially furniture and large items like that. It's like, gosh, you know, if you
yes.
can, yeah, go for it. Get a little bit of cash back. And like we said, with the camera, you can use it to something,
right.
you know, different and bigger or better or whatever. I don't know what, you know what I'm saying, but yeah,
I certainly do.
It's great.
Certainly do. Oh my goodness. Here I am clicking around Etsy and there's just this great selection of furniture.
Yeah.
You know, this is a great opportunity to get rid of your stuff. All right. Enough out of me. Hey, thanks everybody for listening. If you want to find out more about the show, head over to takecontrolorganizing.com and you can jump over to the podcast section there and you can see our past episodes. You can also head over to iTunes and subscribe for free. It's the best way to ensure you don't miss a single episode of Organizing Greatness.
Yes.
From the talented Nikki Kinzer. And so on behalf of Nikki, I'm Pete Wright. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. And we'll catch you next week on Taking Control, the Organizing Podcast.